I'm the incarnation where them Cardinals at, with them Cardinals on their glove and the Cardinal hat. I'm in the Cardinal sports zone spitting Cardinal raps. Say it.
C-A-R-D-S. Let's go.
Play your Cardinal game, get a Cardinal start.
Welcome everybody to this very important, not so impromptu meeting of the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Wahman, and since everybody's been asking, yes, I'm feeling a little bit, today's the best I've felt in a long time. I appreciate that. I'm here today with my co-host, Sam Basden.
What up?
Joe Wahman.
Jovid.
Or Jovid, as he wants to be called from this point forward for some reason. The blue chipper and future Hall of Famer, Dalton Pence.
What's going on, everybody?
And the CSE Podcast Rookie of the Year, Wes Brown.
I still want my contract extension. That's all I'm saying.
not the only one. Can I help y'all? I'm trying to run a show here real quick.
Rookie or six man? Which one is it?
Like, I mean, it's both. This is
Dalton's rookie.
Yeah.
Okay. The sixth man of the year.
I didn't get no damn rookie of the year award.
Well, that's because why are you doing the Hell Hitler salute right now?
Oh, no, I'm putting my finger in the air because Darren Waller is going
okay,
off.
I was going to say that's Nobody kind of inappropriate. And join us via, via phone. It's the incomparable, the undeniable, unless you're a female, Sean Barber.
How's it going, y'all?
It's going well. How are you doing today, Sean?
Tired.
Can't see your face today, which is, you know, for some people good. For DP, it's a blessing. But everybody else, just so y'all know, everybody else is in the studio, and we are all 6 feet-ish apart from each other, with the exception of Joey, but that's because he's 8 feet long and is leaning back in his chair.
Yeah.
Well, we always got to turn it a different way. But that's who's here today. Shout out to our real quick before we get started, because we got a couple things to talk about today. Not sure if y'all heard, we got a head football coach still, so we're gonna touch on that. We're gonna talk about the women's basketball team. Got some Donovan Mitchell news to talk about, and just a bunch of the basketball pause. That's we don't have any updates on that at the moment. We don't know if we're going to be playing Wisconsin this week or not yet. So everybody, feel free to do like you normally do and get on your phones and look for information while we're talking. Sean, I'm sure that's what you're going to do anyway. But a shout-out to our sponsors real quick, Derby City Lawn and Landscaping, Custom Multicades, Fitness Market, Four Pegs Beer Lounge, Shack in the Back, and the Jamon Brown Foundation. We just happen to come to you live from the Jamon Brown Foundation Studios, brought to you by Custom Multicades. All right, guys, let's get right into it. Yesterday, it was announced before most people got up that Scott Satterfield had taken an interview. He spoke to representatives of the South Carolina Gamecocks in Bowling Green Friday night. The underlying story there, because a lot of people just ran with that and was like, oh, my goodness. His son was playing in a high school football playoffs about 35, 40 minutes away from there. Not that that gives any excuse, but that's why it wasn't like some sneaky meeting out of town. It was that was closer to him than meeting them for Louisville. We don't know the context of the conversation. We don't know what it was. You'd have to think that if the job was offered to him, since apparently he wants to leave so bad, he would have taken it. But as of right now, Scott Satterfield is our coach. A lot of people, I feel like, and y'all have different opinions. Y'all can chime in at any time after I'm done talking. I feel like a lot of it has been overblown. Social media does tend to do that at times, and I feel like today a lot more people are more calm. They've assessed the situation. They realize if coach comes out and wins, this all goes away anyway. Sam, I'm going to start with you. I'm going to let you give your thoughts real quick. Well, not real quick. Just tell us how you feel about the situation. Here's the bullet points I have for today. We're going to talk about the situation, whether or not you feel like it was overblown, the fans' reaction, the players' reaction, and how do we move forward? So if you want to touch on a little bit of all that or what, however you want to attack it. But I'm going to let you go ahead and speak first.
Well, first about the player's reaction. I'm not a player. When I did play high school sports, it was just high school, not college.
Well, and it was for Atherton.
Well, I didn't play for those weeks. I didn't play for that school, sorry. I never had a coach that was either actively pursuing another job or someone was trying to get that coach and he's probably going to leave or thinking about leaving. So I haven't. However the players feel about it, that's on them. I have nothing to say about that. I can't judge them because I've never been in their shoes. Two, I look at it as Louisville as a program, as a fan base, is hurt. They've always been hurt because you've always had coaches that you think were really good, and you could see yourself, you would hope that they would be there for a while. They always ended up going someplace else. You always have every other offseason, other programs, bigger programs, well-known programs coming in trying to steal your coach away after they had some kind of success at your school. So Louisville as a program, they've been going through this for so long, they're kind of tired of it. They're kind of hurt because of it. So whether it was overblown or not, hey, man, they're hurt. We're hurt. So however they wanted to deal with it, I'm fine with it. Second, maybe my last point is Coach Satterfield has been at App State for how long now? He was at App State for a long time.
For a while, yeah.
Okay. I look at it as in a relationship. You've been with a girl. Yeah, she's nice or whatever, but you always had your eye on someone else. The prettier girl, the more popular girl in the school or in the neighborhood or whatever. Along comes a girl who's not quite the prettiest, not quite the popular, but she's prettier than the one you have, more popular than the one you have. Of course you're going to go ahead. That's a stepping stone. You step up. Hold on, Wes. Now you're in that mid-tier level, okay? You're with her. Now all of a sudden the girl that you always wanted to comes along, comes knocking, starts giving you some interest. Are you not going to at least listen to what she has to say? Or entertain it to see, hey, am I better off what I have?
South Carolina's not a prettier girl than Louisville. South Carolina's the hillbilly redneck cousin that has kissed at least three other cousins.
To us. But to someone who's from that area, it's different.
So you're saying he wants to kiss his cousins?
No, I didn't say that. Okay. South Carolina to us isn't a step up. But to someone who's maybe from South Carolina or spent a lot of their days and lives in South Carolina, maybe that might be a great job for them. I don't know.
I want to go ahead and respond to something that you had said about the fans and how we feel as a whole. For a long, and I don't expect any of you all other than Joey to remember this, but for the longest time, we were the Prairie View A&M of college football. We didn't have a lot of success. We didn't do good at all. We had 0-for-season. I mean, it was bad. And then in the mid-90s, you know, we won the Fiesta Bowl. We took a couple steps. And then to halt that momentum, we had a coach leave in the middle of the second quarter of a bowl game. That hurt. Yes, we as a fan base are hurt because coaches don't want to stay here. But until we can get a coach that can consistently put up 10-win seasons every year, we're not going to get anybody to come here and stay here. Even when we do get somebody like that, we're ready to kick them out after 2 years. Cragthorpe. I know that that's an unspoken word here, and I'll put a five in the tip jar. But we didn't give – that guy didn't have – he came in and cleaned up one of the biggest messes in Louisville football history by getting rid of a negative environment and culture. And I fear that's what Sat's going to be – Sean, change the battery in your smoke detector, dang it. I fear that's what Sat's going to go down in history as K-squared. Because we did not give Cragthorpe enough time. I know the losing record 2 years straight had everybody up and go, but you can't have it both ways. You can't want a coach to want to stay only if things are good and not have them build stuff. Like, I don't even remember the last coach. Was it Charlie that was here for 5 years or longer? And Charlie may not have been here longer than 5 years.
I don't think so.
It was four years.
I think it was four.
Yeah.
How can you, turn around what your previous coach, everything that those players had learned from that in 4 years. You still have players from that regime on your team. We've not had anybody like, and as much, this may be the day of forbidden things for me, because I'm going to go ahead and touch on another point that I hate to, that I cannot believe I'm ever going to say. But those morons down the road have kept their coach for about 8 or 9 years.
True.
Have things gotten better? Yes. Have they gotten considerably better? No. But you're not going to build tradition at a program by coaching 3 years and bouncing. And what you're going to cause irreparable damage to that program, because recruits aren't going to commit to a school that turns over a coach every 3 years. Commits like that. That's what one thing I do respect is Coach Satt's game, because you have to imagine how much game he had to spit to all these recruits to get them to buy into Louisville and say, hey, I'm going to be here. You need to be here. And to me, and I know it seems like I'm getting a little passionate, and I am, because I've been on both sides of this, of the issue. I'm just trying to give people the benefit of the doubt that deserve it, and there's been nothing in my mind, nothing that I've seen, pardon me, that has told me that Coach Satt is anything like Charlie Strong. Like, and I loved Coach Strong, but again, we talked before the podcast, if y'all ever heard those shows, we'd be off the air, but about reading the room, and Coach Strong could not read the room. I can't tell you how many press conferences I was in person where he would look at us and say he wanted the fan base to be more like,
yeah,
the Wildcats fan base. And back then, everybody was like, he's got to be fired. He's got to be fired. That's, you can't say that. You can't be a Louisville coach and compliment the other team. But now that wasn't so crazy of a take, because at least they are giving their coach, and granted, media, that might mean to them mediocre football is their ceiling. I don't think that's probably why we're so upset, because we feel like that's not our ceiling.
We don't settle for mediocre.
We're not selling for mediocrity, but we have to have patience, because if a coach is not going to come in here and have the season that Satterfield had last year every single year. He needs to, and from what I'm hearing, there still needs to be some people weeded out of the locker room. And that's going to, from what I understand, it's going to happen over the next few months. So maybe next year's the first real full SAT team. What's the word I'm looking for? As far as the culture-wise, you're still going to have a lot of players, Bobby's. But the ones that were the prima donnas, And the problems, I feel like, are either they're all out now or will be after the season. Sorry to get off on a tangent there,
I mean, but
and be so long-winded. That's Sean's job normally, but
well,
go ahead.
One more thing I wanted to say, but I'm going to respond to what it sounded like you were saying.
Okay, I'm pissed right now, so I probably said a bunch of stuff.
I don't think it's the fans who are chasing the coaches out after 2 or 3 years.
I do.
Because
they add to it.
They might be at, because of the frustration that you're with us and you're looking at other people.
Have you never been on Twitter during a Louisville football game?
No. I get you. Look, I try to stay off of
7-0. We're the greatest team ever. They come right back. Our defense sucks. Go down 3 more points. We're losing. Fire Brian Brown. This is what did I see on Twitter earlier? What is our past defense right? Overall defense ranked right now? Top 15, right?
Probably.
It was something, like,
something
that.
Like that.
Yeah.
Fire Brian Brown.
Yeah.
Get rid of Satterfield. Run every. Like, I've talked to a couple of coaches, and there's no secret to the people at the table who my friends are on the coaching staff. And you might be able to perceive from Twitter who is as well, and that's fine with me. But these guys don't want to leave. I had one tell me the other day, they're like, I was telling them, man, we're so worried about Sat leaving, even though everybody's saying it's not true. They confirmed it wasn't true. And we'll get into that. We'll also get into that in a little bit, because I think that needs to be addressed as well. But they're like, are they afraid to lose? Which coaches do they like not want to lose? And I'm like, well, they don't want to lose Court Dennison. They don't want to lose Pete Nocta. They don't want to lose Ledford. They don't want to lose Brian Brown. Like, they're Gunnar Brewer. There's so many great guys on. And are some of them going to get plucked for bigger jobs in the future?
Yes,
absolutely. I mean, Ledford is a star in waiting, I feel like, but. They want to be here. That's the difference. That's why Court Dennison came. He left to get some job experience with Oregon, and probably for other reasons. there's no secret that Petrino didn't get along with any of his coaches. That's why he had to hire his whole family. But the second he was gone, Court came back, and he wants to build something here. Gunnar Brewer wants to build something here. So I'll get off that tangent. Joey, did you have anything that you wanted to add about Satterfield before we move over to the PA announcer over here?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Dalton, go ahead. Give your thoughts on the situation, and then we'll go to Sean, then to Wes.
I think you all brought up good points. Just to touch on the the fan base overreacting. I think when you look at it in a small scope, it may be a problem. But at the end of the day, I feel like it's almost every fan base that does that. I think people are so passionate to where, and I think patience as a whole is a virtue, especially in 2020. Nobody has patience, and we've been going down that road. And it's not just a Louisville football thing; it's a societal issue that we see all over the world. And it's social media that basically drives that home. So I think, we may think Louisville has it bad, but if you look at the top programs, like I said, LSU has problems with that as well. Oklahoma, when they lost LSU last year, I mean, teams, fan bases obviously overreact when they lose, and they pump their teams up when they win. And I think that's just kind of a phenomenon. But in terms of Sat, there's a lot to dissect. I'd say that there's some things that I was a little in disagreement over, but at the end of the day, if the players are okay, then I'm okay. Jeff Nunn and I, we went back and forth in the group chat yesterday and basically said if the players are okay with it, if Satterfield has not lost the players, who are we to say that we're offended? Satterfield was hired to coach players. He really doesn't owe us truly anything except for his players, his employers, and his coworkers. One thing that I guess I wish would have done better is just the clarity up front. And, I understand, the conversation and the interview, but I question if it's truly a conversation, why do you need to have that conversation in person in a pandemic if it was just to hear them out? I mean, you could hear them out over a phone call or a Zoom call, but you met with the athletic director in Bowling Green in person. There had to be some type of interest there, whether or not he got the offer or not. I'll probably never know, and at this point, I don't care as long as we move on and the players are okay with it. I'm not docking the guy for being open. If you're trying to dock a guy for being interested in a job to where it's closer to his family, then you've got it. I saw a tweet yesterday. If you're interested in other jobs while you already have a job, you need to delete your LinkedIn page. it's true. I mean, and Louisville fans should look at it as a blessing that an SEC program is looking to pick Sat, despite his on the field issues this year, just because they have faith in them. I mean, you'd rather have it this way than the other way around.
And I think that most people can understand. I mean, obviously your hardcore Twitter whack offs, for lack of better terms, are just going to be angry about everything. But in the midst of all of that, I think people understand that this year's literally has been, for us anyway, has been an injury and COVID plagued year that it's just a throwaway. It's a toss-up. And I understand, everybody else is going through the same stuff. Yeah, and other places aren't handling it well either. Some are. Some people have, 27 five-star backups and can overcome stuff like that. But in the heart of the situation, we're always, like you said, we should be honored. That, and the same thing when LSU and who else was it from the SEC came after Bobby?
Auburn.
That's the frustration with the fan base. It's every coach.
It is it's a very mature answer to have, to have appreciation for a program looking at your coach, just because in the moment, you don't think about that. Louisville fans have had deja vu. You all mentioned, I guess it was a little before my time when we had a coach lead in the second quarter. But Bobby Petrino,
it was 2002. You were alive in 2002.
Was it John L. Smith? Yes. Okay. Yep. Well, I was 4 years old.
He went to Michigan State.
I was working at Insight. I told them to turn all the TV. I was doing customer service. Y'all can only imagine what those phone calls were like. I tried to joke with everybody. Huh? We were playing Marshall in the GMAC Bowl. And about halfway through the second quarter, my phone starts ringing. And it was Lavelle Boyd, and he was on the sidelines for the game. And I said, why are you calling me? He said, dude, he's leaving. was like, whatever. I said, I got to get back to work, man. I got to pay my bills. And then at halftime, they start talking about it on the halftime report of the football game. I'm like,
he left.
No, he wasn't ready.
But I mean, the point still stands. I mean, from John L. and then to Bobby, who basically left overnight. I mean, for granted, it was an NFL job. Charlie Strong, the day he left for Texas earlier that day, was telling people that he, you know, he was looking forward to being the Louisville coach, you know, for years to come. And I think, you know, for Louisville fans, the bitter truth, and people can deny this all they want, right now and ever since Louisville has joined Division I, it's been a stepping stone job.
Yes.
And people love to overrate what Louisville is as a job just because of what we've seen in terms of on-field success doesn't dictate how prominent a program's job is. You know, Louisville is a very young program, you know, in a nutshell. And, you know, we just don't have the standing as an SEC program, you know, both financially. I know that Louisville is very financially funded for an ACC program, mm-hmm. and it's one of the better off ones out there. But at the end of the day, I think our fans overrate the hell out of our program to the fact that, like, when Charlie Strong was looking at Tennessee, there were really people out there, you know, saying, oh, well, Tennessee's not as good as Louisville in terms of.
And I would agree with that. At that point, the only.
But the,
we'll talk about it. I was one of them, and I still agree with that.
On the field success, but one of them was in the SEC in what could be considered a recruiting hotbed if you actively recruited it. And one was in the Big East at that, or the Big East at the time. But I mean, that's a conversation for a different day. And whether you look at that or not, I think the point I'm trying to get across is Louisville is still a stepping stone job until we have a guy who basically cuts out a chunk of his coaching career to spend a good amount of time. We're talking 7-8, like Mark Stoops era, you know, longevity at Louisville. We're going to continue to be a stepping stone job until we prove that we can, you know, continually year in, year out, be contenders. So I'm not mad at Sat for looking at the other position. I thought he could have handled it well. I hope he's being honest. You know, I'll trust him for his word until he basically shows that he cannot be trusted.
Right.
So,
but that's the way we should handle it. And that's not the way that social media handles things. We hear something. I could tweet out right now, Dalton Pence is the douchebag.
And 8,000
people on Twitter would be like, I can't believe it. He's a
thing about it is people don't want to fact check anymore. The first thing they see, it's true.
It's too inconvenient to get all the facts first. That's why last week, and the recruiting team is basically all here or over the phone, when the initial reports came out, I talked to the person who I talked to, which it's a legit source. They know who it is. I don't have to flex. I did flex last night a little bit. I'll tell you about that after the show. But this was not a time I flexed. I was just like, you know what? My sources are straight from the horse's mouth, and y'all are basically pissing in the wind. Calm down. He's not going anywhere. CSC, at that point, stood down. They didn't say anything else. Later on that evening, it came out that we were correct the whole time. Everything was straight. Same thing happened yesterday. Except for, I don't know if, I've been sick. I've had, the doctor said he could not for sure say I had double pneumonia, but the things I was telling him, it sounded like it. There was one point where I couldn't breathe. I had to put on oxygen. And I fought all the way back from that to do this podcast today. So that should be very, an inspiration to y'all. But no, all jokes aside, yesterday, the same thing occurred, only it was 100-fold. Everybody was just all out angry. And I said we would talk about this in a few minutes, but nobody fact checked. Then again, so Vince Tyree comes out publicly and is like, I didn't know anything about it. I've expressed my disappointment. We're going to move on. He's told me that his main focus is us. To touch on something Dalton just said. Not to touch on Dalton. To touch on something Dalton just said.
Ooh.
I hate you, Wes, sometimes. you know, he very well may not have had any. I'm trying to remember. Wes messed me up. Like, I was about to say something. One of the side effects of this medicine I'm taking is cussing people out and forgetting stuff. And I just about did both in the span of 20 seconds with Wes.
You forgot to cuss him out.
No, it's something I've been trying to think that Dalton said, and I wanted to, it was about Coach Sad, of course. Freak. Anyway, if I remember it, I'll just interrupt whoever's talking. And it's frustrating, man. I've been so sick, and these medicines.
What did it have to do with it? If I said it, then I might be able to remember what I said.
Well, if I remembered, I wouldn't ask you what you said. But the side effects, I've had anger. I've been sweating profusely. I've been doing the Harlem shake all day, just.
Said a Harlem shake.
Yeah, I've been doing the shakes. It's crazy. And not the kind of shakes like Higgy. Like, oh, we forgot to call Higgy. Higgy's not on the show today.
Oh,
yikes.
Shit. He's probably eating a McRib. Let's see. Let's check the.
But while you're doing that, I think the last point I want to make is the fact that, you know, it stems from, you know, people believing anything that they see on social media. I truly believe that. To go further and say that people believe what they want to believe. If you were already mad at SAT and then you see that report, boom, now you're really mad at him. The reality of the fact is right now there are two polar opposite narratives right now sitting out. There's the one from the South Carolina side saying that Satterfield pushed for this position but didn't end up getting it, so he backtracked. And then there's the side that from some people on the Louisville end saying that, well, it was his job if he wanted it, but he turned it down to be, you know, to
real
be
quick
Louisville.
Because I did remember it. Do y'all honestly think that South Carolina would fly all the way to Bowling Green and not offer him the job?
I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't think they waste the fuel.
The thing about it is they did have a game in Lexington this weekend. So,
I mean, Sat was in Bowling Green could have been in Bowling Green from yeah.
If they were in Lexington for a game. Why would they drive to Bowling Green?
Well, AD flew into Bowling Green on the way to Lexington. I don't know.
You don't fly into Bowling
Green. That's a good point though, because if you wanted to meet with somebody in person, because what I just said was if you weren't interested, you wouldn't have met in person. You could flip that on its head saying, okay, well, South Carolina wasn't going to offer the position. Why in the world did they meet him in person? So
he was absolutely offered the position. That's my opinion. Y'all don't have to agree with me. It's fine. He was absolutely offered the position, and he absolutely turned it down after he saw after he realized that he had let Vince down and other factors. Again, I don't know that to be true. I may try to find out. I did get an interesting follow today. I won't mention that. But, you know, the fact of the matter is we will never know what exactly happened with that situation. That's just like the whole Charlie Strong.
Exactly.
Leaving for Tennessee and then being talked out of it the last minute. Like, Jurich 1,000,000% was like, he's not staying. And then he decided to stay. So, we don't know. Joey, go ahead.
Here's the thing. The fans complaining and doing all this is not a new thing.
Mm-mm.
They've been doing it for 40 years. It's just we have Twitter now, and it's more prominent.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
But on the flip side, I think it kind of ties a lot of what a lot of everybody said together.
I meant just update real quick. I'm at my sweating section of the hour, so go ahead.
Nice. I'm not.
I just shook, then I sweated. So
we're probably always going. There's napkins. Is that what you're pointing at? Oh, okay.
I didn't want to interrupt you.
Do it like this. I'm like, what is there?
I thought he was making fun of my shakes. I thought he's like, hi, you got this
snakes on a plane? What?
I'm tired of
shakes on a plane.
We are a stepping stone school. We haven't. What have we done to prove yet that we're not?
The closest would be Bobby's 3 years here.
Okay,
proved every year.
But
Charlie's
okay.
Tenure.
It's okay. We've like somebody said. We've got to do some consistent things to be somewhere where somebody wants to stay. We haven't done that yet. No, we haven't.
Look at the facility. They've been doing stuff within the facilities to make themselves a more of a destination
facilities.
School. Yeah,
okay.
But in order not to be a stepping stone, someone have to say Louisville is not a stepping stone. I'm going to stay. Yeah.
How many national championships has Alabama won?
I don't give Clemson. A crap.
Louisville's my
a
point
stepping
is
stone,
you have to win.
To
right.
I'm not talking
but
about.
They're not
going to
win
I'm
if someone doesn't decide
about
to stay.
Facilities.
That's what I was saying, though. We're going to be a stepping stone until someone.
Two good years, and then we have three bad. then we have 2 good years, and then we have 3
That's
bad.
Why because we're still a stepping stone, because we don't have the longevity. And that's what Sam's arguing, though, is
right,
he not?
Because if,
I think
if,
we're all in agreement on this.
If Charlie Strong had decided to stay, do you really think Louisville would still be considered a
stepping stone? He went to freaking Texas,
dude. I understand that. I get that, saying, Joey. You're right. Louisville is a stepping stone because everyone gets someplace bigger. But it's going to take one person to realize – I'm not going to leave Louisville. And I think fans were hoping when Bobby came back the second time that he would stay. I think fans were hoping that if we offered Jeff Brohm the position, he would realize I'm from Louisville. He's a lifer. Yeah. He's going to take us from not being a stepping stone.
Grass isn't always greener on the other side.
Right.
Well, that's proven big time because there's only been 2 coaches in the last 20-something.
Grass is greener where you water it.
We only want a coach that's going to stay here. That's all we want, Joey.
There's only been 2 coaches.
I'm saying that I want a coach every 3
What are we arguing over?
I don't know.
Can I ask, what in the hell are we arguing?
That we were a stepping stone school right now until somebody stays.
And that's, yes.
Right, and that's what I'm saying.
Y'all are all saying the same thing.
Now we're all saying the same thing.
I got to come at. I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's where I was confused. Like, I was saying that everybody was, I was tying everybody's stuff together.
Is Sean still alive? Sean.
Sean, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. I was about to say, I thought he said, man.
Well, it doesn't come.
We have the facilities. We have the conference. We have somewhat of a foundation to build on. We just need that guy.
When did we get in the ACC?
2015. Bobby's first year.
Like, how many years ago?
14-15 was the year. Oh, okay. That school year.
So that's pretty recent, right?
Yeah.
6 years.
So through all the other ones, we didn't have the conference.
No.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
That's what we're saying. We now have all the variables that we need to retain. And that was a thing. When Bobby came back, it was like, we're giving him a second chance here. So he's not going to leave us ever. And he had told people he had no intentions of leaving. And there's also people out there that believe. There's also people out there that believe that Jeff Brohm's.
He didn't leave.
No,
he was kicked out.
Well, right. Fired.
Right, yeah.
He held up his end of the bargain.
Right.
Right. And then people that thought that he's not from Maryland, though. But then people thought that if Jeff Brohm got the job, that he wouldn't leave either. That very well may be. But let's touch on this last point about Coach Sapp before we head to the second half of the show. And if y'all think anything else, this is open forum day. It's fine. But the biggest thing that came out of this story was the fact that it seemed, and Sean, I'm going to let you attack this one because I'm sure we've all touched on everything you could have said about the first part, and I apologize for putting you last in that situation, but I'm going to put you first in this one. What it appears to be is that this was just a huge play, whether it be from Satter as agent, to get him a contract extension here at Louisville. And that's what a lot of people are sour about now. They find something to be sour about all the time, but this is now the reason why people are upset. It's because during a pandemic year, during COVID, during a year where people have been furloughed and money has been taken away from everybody, including Vince, all the way at the top. Is this a bad look?
Yes.
Do you think? Thanks, Sean. Sean, is this a bad look? Do you think that this was Coach Sat inflicted, or do you think this was just something that the agent was trying to do?
I think it's a bad look. It is a bad look because, first off, you're in your second season. You have one great, or not even great season, a really good season.
It was great.
Nobody expected. And you come back now, and this season has been, let's be honest, it's been a total bust. You know? And there's factors in that, obviously. The COVID factor, injuries, the fact you didn't really have a full off season to get young guys acquainted with the program. And
opt outs, also don't forget opt outs.
But to me, this seems more like a play of the agent, because you even listen to some of what they're trying to get. It's not even necessarily they're trying to get like a ton more money, but more guaranteed money up front and this and that. But it's just, no matter what, while people are going through things, there are people out here getting evicted. There are people out here that can't afford their medication. There are people out here in the restaurant industry not knowing what they're going to do when they've been working there for years. People losing life savings because they can't open the restaurants. It's a bad look. I mean, I'm just being honest.
Can we, real quick before I go to Sam on this, can we agree that, and maybe you don't, that this year and last year are the exact, as far as on the field production, that the only difference between this year and last year is last year we got a couple of bounces to secure some victories, and this year we didn't get those same bounces, Sam? I mean, you could pick three games from last year and say Virginia, Wake, and Boston College. We should have lost those games, but because of our coaching and our perseverance, we won them. You could also pick three games this year and say Miami, Virginia Tech, and Boston College and say, well, if those games would have turned out this year like they did last year, we're now sitting here at what are we, 3-7?
Yeah.
So we'd be 6-4. And it's almost – we win this last game, and it's almost a mirror image of last year, except for we – now – and that I just want a yes or no, because I want you to go ahead and talk about the extension thing. But can anybody disagree with the fact that we've had a pretty similar season?
In the grand scheme of it all, yes.
Okay. All right, go ahead. Let's talk about extension.
Giggity. The extension, like Sean said, it's a bad look. Not only because, great, fine, you had that first miraculous great year. This year you're 3-7, and now potentially you're looking at a different job. Or someone else is coming to you and you want me to reward you for what? You didn't fulfill your contractual obligations. So why should I reward you with something new or reward you with more? That's almost like, I'll go back to somewhat of a relationship. You're looking at another woman.
Daggone it, Sam.
And you want the woman that you're with to go ahead and reward you for looking but not doing anything. What? Like, you're contractually obligated to stay with Louisville. Go ahead, Wes.
Go ahead and finish.
You're contractually obligated to stay with Louisville. 2 years in, it isn't like you went 8-3 or 8-4 and then 9-2 or whatever for them to say, oh, you know what? We really underpaid you. Let's go ahead and lock you up for a longer term because you've just blown it out of the water. No, you haven't. So to demand a to look for a contract extension after 2 years and after this scandal is bad. What you wanted to say, Wes?
Okay, so I have a question for you since we're doing this right now.
All
right. So are you defending or because you're jumping on two sides of the street right now? Because at first you were talking about how you can't get mad at a guy for looking at another girl.
Right.
Ooh. And then we come back and you're like, so
but
I'm
you get
going
mad
to,
at him for getting an
I'm,
extension?
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
That's where it is. I'm not mad because I'm not mad at you looking.
No,
it's better. But I want you to
this is what's wrong with society these
days. I'm gonna look. And if you get mad at me for looking, so be it.
Okay.
But I'm not expecting you to reward me for looking and not doing anything.
That's very true.
And that's what it seems like he wants. He's had one good year. This year was kind of a downfall. I get it, the COVID situation. And then this situation happens now. What determines that you get a contract extension out of this whole thing?
Yeah,
okay, so let's real quick, though. But because I always do devil's advocate. I want to see both sides of the story. What did he do to deserve to have his money taken away before the season started? Everybody had to cut back for that. Wasn't his fault. COVID wasn't his fault.
That's fine.
It wasn't his fault. But in all fairness of everything, I don't think you can go ahead and literally say it's okay for me to pay you so much money when we cutting out jobs from people underneath who need it.
I know, but you just said what did he do to deserve more money? I'm just saying what did he do. What did he do to deserve less? Like, he literally, we already knew we're throwing this season away because of COVID.
He didn't do anything to deserve less money,
Go ahead. Sean hadn't talked the whole dang show, so go ahead, Sean.
So, what I want to say is that there are a lot of people that are losing their jobs and houses, and they didn't do anything to deserve that.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, they should have chosen different professions.
Oh,
I'm joking.
Here's one thing. Well, we know Sat's agent is Jimmy Sexton. Jimmy Sexton, for those who don't.
Sean, don't.
who don't know who he is, obviously.
Just because it's got
who
sex
he
in
doesn't, him. Who people don't know who he is. He's kind of like, if you're a baseball fan, think Scott Boras. He represents a ton of players, just like Sexton represents a ton of coaches.
Kind of like Drew Rosenhaus.
I mean, probably even maybe a little more than that.
There
here,
you
but
go.
Here's
Rich
what, here, here's what, yes. Here's why Sexton represents a ton of coaches, because he's a highly – He's a highly valued commodity because he gets his guys paid. This isn't anything different than from what happens. Like I think college football is a business. Your agent is your agent for one reason. He is going to secure you the most money, the best contract, the best financial literature that you have for your possible coaching tenure. So, I mean, I don't fault him you can't fault an agent for doing his job. However, you can criticize him for how he's doing it and when he's doing it. That's the problem. He's doing it in a national pandemic. Regardless if that's his job or not, it's a good look. And if it's not a good look, then you just have to deal with it. If you're trying to get a better standing in terms of your contract, that's fine. But we have the right to criticize you for doing that.
Yeah.
And not only that, but you're doing it in a sense of you can't get mad at the fan base for trying to get a bigger contract out of Louisville when you basically have 1-8-5 season to show for. You're trying to get rewarded for having interest in South Carolina, which is right now I would go on record and say it's a lateral move. It's not like Texas. It's not like, you know, you have to spend the big money to keep him. It's not a Charlie Strong situation. So the when and the how is bothering me. I don't care about the what and the why. I mean, that's standard protocol. I mean, agents get guys paid. That is their job.
Correct.
They eat based upon how their clients eat. So I'm not mad at them for that. I am mad, however, when he's doing it, especially when a lot of his coworkers and people in the Louisville industry have lost and been decimated. I mean, guys lose their jobs and have to fend for that, but I mean, he wants better – you have financial standing. I mean, I get it, but it still is, you can still criticize.
Wes, what about you, buddy?
For me, I just see, I can't get, like you said, Dalton, it's a lateral move. But for me, it's more than that for me. It's like, it's more than just the money and stuff like that. He's looking at to what he wants to do with his family, his own best interest, their own best interest.
Right.
Like I told y'all before, could he handle the situation better? Of course he could. Everybody knows he could. He could have handled that situation way better than what he did. So could his agent. But that's not where we're at. Everybody needs to see it as a – for him, it's still a job at the end of the day. He has to produce wins, and wins. He has to produce. And now, Sam, I agree with you. He shouldn't have got an extension. He shouldn't have got – whatever.
Well, we don't know that he's got anything.
Oh, okay.
Yet.
I misheard it.
From what we heard, he's trying to.
Okay.
Twitter said it.
Oh, we're going off Twitter? Oh, cool. All right, Twitter, I feel y'all. But
Twitter just said Sean's not a virgin.
Yeah, we're not believing that.
We're not believing that yet, but, you know.
The tests have determined that was a lie.
Right.
Oh, you are the father. Anyway.
I tried, Sean. Sorry.
But
Wes has been a part of that show before.
Why you gotta call me out like that, though?
You're the only one here that has a kid. What are you talking?
I know, right?
What speed are you set on right now?
Oh yeah,
full throttle.
Full throttle.
But
how many Mountain Dews have I had? No, I'm just but what?
Oh, good. I just saw Mekhi Becton's butt. That was awesome.
But okay. But back to what I was saying.
Potting after dark.
What? Can't stand you.
Your host,
DP
Jeremy Wallman.
DP.
Hello, ladies. No.
Uh-oh, Seanson. Ooh, yeah, I'm a part of this now.
No, you're not. Anyway.
Wow.
But
we're lucky Sean hasn't come over here and shot our entire house up with us.
Jesus Christ. Great man, by the way.
Great. Awesome. Awesome guy. You better
I love Sean. Sean's one of my favorite people. So y'all leave the joking to me.
You're right. But as I was saying, I don't think he should get an extension. I don't think it's only been 2 years. Like,
right.
This year, yeah, we all can be like, all right, it wasn't going to be good. At some given point, we had canceled games. We had to take players out. We've got hit. So But at the end of that, nah, I ain't with it.
Make sure, by the way, while I'm thinking about it, make sure if you all have any thoughts, comments, or concerns about the podcast, shoot us a DM at CardSportZone. You can tweet us during the show. Obviously, y'all don't know that we're doing the show right now other than the fact I tweeted it out. But just any kind of input y'all have at any time, let us know, and we will address it on the next episode. We'll probably address it publicly, but it'll give us topics for the next week, and we do appreciate that. Let's real quick, Sean, did you have anything to add about that? No, you finished up your point about the extension. Let's talk about our fine sponsors real quick before we head to the end of the show, or second part of the show. Four Pegs Beer Lounge, you can give them a call at 634-1447. Our guy Chris is out there serving food to everybody. He's making sure that no matter what, that if you're out there, you know, taking up for a good cause, if you need something to eat and you live close, they're doing delivery through, Postmates. So you can get the food right now. They're doing pork chop dinners with candied apples and mashed potatoes. It's a $20 dinner for two, $35 for that dinner for four. That's a great value, and they have great food. That's Four Pegs, once again, 634-1447. They're also doing some holiday meal stuff. We'll try to get that to y'all by the next episode. I have asked Chris for it, and this is what he's got going right now. Check out also our fine sponsors at a Fitness Market, Chris and Sarah. They can have you take care of your fitness needs. 502-882-2694. Keep up with our Facebook page too, because I share stuff from them and a few other prospective sponsors all the time. And Fitness Market's really good about putting out new stuff when they get it. They have they just got a whole new inventory of treadmills, ellipticals, dumbbells, benches. Bike, you name it, they've got electric bikes out there. They got pretty much anything that you would need to get in shape, get it going. I'm still loving my treadmill, by the way. It is still getting put to good use. I love it. I've been sick for about a month, so I haven't used it in about a month, but I can't wait to get back in there this week and do some damage on the track there. Hopefully not physical damage, just, you know, emotional, spiritual damage. Shack in the Back Barbecue, 3633 BBQ. They're located on the heart of Fairdale. They cook all their stuff on real wood block pits. They have great specials as well too. Let me go ahead and go to. I have asked for their specials and have not got them yet. So we'll just, you know, it's live radio, buddy. It's live taped radio. So let's go to Shack in the Back and see what they got going on right now. Shack in the Back Barbecue. Do do do. I don't care how unprofessional this is. I'm doing it, so. Yeah, I just told you I just saw his butt.
I thought you was joking.
No, I wasn't.
You all right over there, Joey?
Support them, though. I don't see any specific specials right now. They're still got their Thanksgiving specials up on the website. But they are small businesses. They are a small business. If you live in Fairdale, get out there. Support them. They support us. We love Ms. Barbara in there for that. We appreciate it so much. Last but not least, Linda. No, not last but not least. We got a couple more. What are you talking about, Jeremy? I've got pneumonia. Linda and Chris Stewart out at Custom Multicades, 502-819-5802. You've heard us talk about it almost at nauseum. They make custom arcades. I sell about two or three of them a week. Everybody is coming back with just rave reviews about what they're receiving. I've got a couple pieces in here, hoping to get another one soon. They can do anything. They can do bourbon barrel arcades. They can do cocktail tables. They can do racing games. They can do stand-ups. Pretty much anything that you need, they can do for you. Give them a call. Once again, 502-819-5802. Now, last but not least, Derby City Lawn and Landscaping. You know, mowing season may be over, but the time to get your yard ready for next spring can never start too early. Give them a call, Rob Black, 502-773-5757. That's 502-773-5757. All right, guys. But before the show started, I mentioned that we had some other stuff to talk about today, and I won't call out the member, but they were like, there's other stuff happening this week? What there was a lot of other stuff that happened this week, and the first thing was is that there were players there. Dalton, you can help me out with it. Was it players? Was it ever verified? There were multiple members of the Louisville basketball program that tested positive for COVID, so we were put in a state of pause.
Yeah, from what I was told, there was – or what? Not really what I was told, what I saw. It looked like there was one person definite that had tested positive. Now, I'm not going to speculate on who that is. I personally don't know or have an idea. I suggest those listening and those at the table not to bark up a wrong tree because you do have to keep in mind people's rights. But apparently it's someone in that close tier, so it could be a player, could be a coach. All I know is there looks like right now there's one confirmed positive. So,
well, if it's a player, we'll find out because they won't be available for the next game.
Depending on when we play the next game. True.
If we play Wisconsin this week as scheduled, we'll know because that said player will not be –
correct
on the court, and they would not have been injured, so we will know, but we still don't have an update as of now when we will be unpaused. So stay tuned to CardinalSportsZone.com at Card Sports Zone or any of us individually. We'll keep you updated on that. Bye week for football this week. We will be playing. It was announced today that that Saturday's matchup versus Wake Forest will be a nooner on the ACC network, so nobody has to. Well, I don't have to complain about not getting the game because it will be on my TVs. If y'all don't get it, more than welcome to come to my house and watch it. Maybe we should do that next Saturday. Is everybody available Saturday?
Next Saturday? I should be, yeah.
Are you available Saturday? Crap. Well, maybe we'll still get together and watch the football game and then figure something out afterwards. Let's see. What else do we got? Oh, we released the story. First off, Dalton had a great piece that we released this week. Check it out, CardinalSportsZone.com, on Chris Mack and his recruiting success, and which was on display yesterday with the addition of Sam. I'll go ahead and let you talk about who we got yesterday for Louisville basketball.
Wow, me? It's usually Sean's idea.
Okay, hey, Sean, do you want to talk about it instead? I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
All right, so we got the younger brother of Dre Davis, I guess Tay Davis, 6'5", 6'6", wing out of was it Lawrence Central, yeah. Sean?
He's Warren Central. Warren Central. He moved to his dad.
Okay, yeah. And what Louisville's getting is similar to Dre Davis and a good all-around offensive player. He's a lot better spot-up shooter than his brother is, which I think Louisville will need next year. Because if it goes the way that everyone else thinks, we probably might lose Samuel Williamson this year. So we're going to need a bigger offensive threat. He's a four-star player, really, really good, really athletic. And so look for him to go ahead and start the good things that I think will come for the Louisville 2022 recruiting class in basketball.
And speaking of basketball, that's the other thing that the big news of the week that we're just going to kind of wait and see till tomorrow. You all will hear this podcast later today. We'll have it out just as soon as we wrap up. But tomorrow, the response to the NCAA violation, the allegations response is supposed to be revealed tomorrow. They got the information back on Tuesday, so I would assume that if you're waiting this long to tell people what was going on.
I thought it was Thursday. I thought they got it Thursday.
Friday. They announced that they had it on Friday. They actually received the response on Tuesday. For me, the first thing that stood out is if they're waiting that long, things must not be as bad as everybody thought. I'm still on the train that it's going to be 1 year postseason ban, recruiting restrictions, and that's that. I don't think we're getting the death penalty like everybody else, like mob mentality Twitter does. Guys, y'all have any thoughts on that? Sean, I'll let you go first.
I'm with you on the fact it can't be as bad, because if it was, you're going to release it on Friday. I mean, think about what has happened in the past. Every time we've been in trouble, it's always come out on a Friday in the afternoon or sometimes in the evening. So the fact they're actually going to do it on Monday at 10 a.m. where everybody's awake and you know, sound and ready and looking for it, it's got to be some kind of, I don't say good news, but better news than expected.
I can tell you firsthand, Sean, because at the time of all the other announcements, it's when me, Steve Rummage, Perrin Johnson, and sometimes Marcus Maben did the car, and Justin Rink for a while too, did the car CSD on 93.9 The Ville. And every Saturday morning, we had a new allegation because it was released after Ennis and them went off the air at 6 o'clock. So it was normally like 6:30, all this stuff dropped. And we were blessed and lucky enough to be the first people, lucky slash unlucky, the first people that get to talk about everything good and bad that happened with Louisville at that point. And, yeah, the bad information always came out Friday at 6:30 p.m. And we got to talk about it first. But I don't think it's going to be bad news. Dalton, did you have anything to say about that?
I mean, I think I don't think that Louisville's going to get off scot-free, obviously. I think those that are trying to operate under the fact that the NCAA is going to use logic in this decision are severely misguided. NCAA and logic do not go hand in hand. In fact, they're at the polar ends of the spectrum. I think it's going to be a one-year ban like U55. I don't think the doomsdayers really truly believe that we're going to get a death penalty. I think people are just want to throw pity parties and, you know, woe is me, woe is me. I'm honestly in the group though. Let's get it over with. I'm just ready to put it behind us.
All right, Joey.
Well, I stepped out for a second, so I didn't hear what everybody said. But so is this
the response to the allegations? Notice.
So this isn't from the independent.
No,
we're going the route.
It looks like it's look like we're going to announce that we're going to go that way. It seems like
we haven't.
No.
Okay. See, I've heard from multiple places that we had already chosen that route.
No, we wouldn't be talking to the NCAA if we were going that route. That's a different body.
Because I thought that so.
So basically,
so we wait for them to say we're going to do this, and them say no, we don't agree with that.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, I thought it was. So then, why hasn't Kansas heard anything?
I don't know.
Because they have said they're going independent. I mean, they have publicly
said they're going independent. The thing about it is there was a team last year. Jody said something about there was a report to where Jody Demling pretty much laid it all out, which was nice in the sense of I don't think a lot of people understand like the timeline. These timelines take so much time, and I think that there was a report that said whatever the acronym that we're possibly going through, it takes quite some time to get any bit of substantial information on what the sanctions could be. If we get a postseason ban, it will probably 99% not be for this year. It would likely be for next year unless Louisville was to self-impose. For those listening, let me tell you, that is not happening. It will not happen. We got burned the first time. We are not going to get burned by that same fire the second time.
I think it's the IIRC, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Wes?
So I got a question. So how long have we been waiting for this?
Too long.
It's been a grip, man. It's been a while.
How many years?
2017.
So 3 years. So we've been waiting 3 years just for other players to get a punishment that happened.
I think Malik Williams was the only one kind of in that time that was even like a part of that.
He's the only person on the team that was here, I believe. When all that came out.
And Rick Pitino is just going to be Scott. He's going to live the life up at Iona and not get any – I don't want to get off on topic. I just got to say this. The whole system screwed up. Why not punish the people directly for it? Did you all realize that Dre Davis was in that conference room talking about paying Brian Bowen? That's right, because he wasn't. Might not even have been a freshman in high school at the time.
By the way, that's going to be put on Twitter, and people are going to run with that. Hey, Dalton said that Dre Davis was in the room with Brian Bowen when he – no.
Then they don't hear the second part of it, though.
No.
But you get the gist, though. Yeah. We're punishing players that weren't even in high school at the time.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I hate the most. It's like you're punishing kids that weren't even here, weren't even witness it, wasn't even a part of it. And then y'all don't want to go after the people that – well, let's be honest, y'all don't want to go after their pockets, which you should.
Yeah, and by the way, shout out to Coach P. I mean, some of y'all may not like him. I do. Would they upset Winthrop last night?
I wouldn't really consider that to be an upset, but that was a good win.
It was considered an upset because the highlight read Iona upsets Winthrop, so that's the only reason I thought that it was an upset.
I mean,
was Winthrop or Hofstra?
Hofstra. Sorry. I said Winthrop. Winthrop was in our Louisville bubble, right?
Yeah.
Hofstra. Okay. I got confused. Okay. Well, I'm allowed to make mistakes, too. I've got the shakes and stuff. I didn't say the whole word.
Shake the haters off.
I almost did. I almost said the whole word.
But
go ahead, Wes. Go ahead.
But to my point, it just got to a point to where we've been waiting 3 years for this, which it should have already been passed. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be no 3 year long. And then what if next year or the year after we got a great team, made it all the way to the final five? Well, we're going to. But win the national championship, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, we're going to take all this away. It's like,
well, they can't necessarily do that. If anything, it's just going to be a future thing.
I get that, but I'm just saying, as much as the world is screwed up, I don't take anything for granted.
I mean,
you can't.
You're not wrong.
And it's not right for anybody.
I think it's just litigation. Litigation takes time. Even in like murder trials and stuff like that, this stuff takes time. But I agree, 3 years.
That's too long.
I mean, the thing about it is, you know, the courts have already ruled in favor of the schools and I guess the word you're looking for is like not necessarily decriminalizing, but you know, basically severing the tie between Adidas and the Adidas school, saying that Adidas did not act as a beneficiary. And I just have to wonder, I said, well, if that comes out, why do you need two more years just to deny that even happening? Like, the NCAA is just so bass ackwards that, I mean, it's just,
The court said that the schools were the victim.
But, Joey.
And then the NCAA is saying, oh, no, Adidas was
but
an
Joey,
extension of
hookers. But Joey, wiretap. But Joey, red team bad. I mean, good Lord. I don't know what Louisville did to the NCAA to make them hate us that much. But whatever they did, it's working. We are the scapegoat.
Joey.
No, I'm good.
Red team bad.
All right. Took a turn. Women's basketball. Let's go on to them real quick. They have been on fire as of late. Sam, you are the women's basketball beat writer. Tell us a little bit about what the girls have been doing so far this besides finding opponents to replace opponents.
Well, right now they're off to a 4-0 start. I think they beat UT Martin today. I want to say 84-65, somewhere along those lines. Louisville, if it had not been for a COVID-19 year, and if this was a regular roundabout, how it usually is, this would be a team, not that it isn't right now, I think this would be a team that threatens for a national championship this year. Coach Walsh has said it all along. You have played like Dana Evans. She said it too. This is probably the deepest team, the best offensive collection of talent that he's had or she's played with since she's got to Louisville. And don't forget now, when she was a freshman at Louisville, they had Jasmine Junes, Asia Durr, Maisha Hines Allen, and people like that. So she knows offensive talent. So, and the freshmen this year are beyond. I knew the freshmen were good, but I did not know Haley Van Lith and Olivia Cochran were this good.
Well, if you didn't know, now you know.
Right, and I like I said before in one of the player spotlights, and that Dalton tweeted out, I think 2 days ago, the last game, the DePaul game. This is probably the best backcourt. In women's college basketball. I mean, South Carolina has a good backcourt, and of course UConn does too. But in terms of the firepower that Louisville has with Dana Evans and Haley Van Lith, this has got to be a top two, and they're not number two backcourt in the country.
Sir. And it's probably the best backcourt we've ever had.
Yes, yes.
It is, not probably, and it may be the best backcourt in college basketball history. And that's
had Diana Taurasi and Sue Bird.
I said
yes,
what
you
I said.
Did.
History is a little rich.
I said
I
what I said. That's why
think
I said
good.
This may be. Oh. Not that this is. This may be. When it's all said and done, these two have the potential.
Yeah.
Not the upside, because they're showing their upside now. They have the ability to be considered the best backcourt in women's basketball college basketball history.
And on that note, for me, I'm going to have to get a shout-out to Mr. Jeff, the ladies' coach, because he brought us from the years he started to now, like just consistently.
He's had a similar career as Dan McDonald. Dan McDonald of the baseball team. He just got here. They went from nothing and just started being good immediately and haven't let off since. Neither one has won the big one yet. That's an interesting poll question that we could put out later in the week. Who's going to win their first national championship?
If season getting it canceled last season, the baseball team was winning it, I will go to my grave saying
yes.
That.
Yeah. And I think last year the women's basketball team would have probably been in the Final Four. You get to the Final Four.
I think that Elite Eight game would have been a little very tough, but I think that team had all the makings of a team that gets to the Final Four.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Once you get there, then all bets
anything
off.
Can happen.
And then the team this year, like, you had to give it to Jeff because when he got – the baseball coach, because once he got here, it was just like in the beginning you could see that he was putting – he had a foundation to lay down, and he laid it down, and he kept going. You had Angel McCautry. You just had all these players come in, and then it started with Angel McCautry, and then it kept going. Shoney, the Schimmels, then all that. And
I've been Schimmeling all week,
boy. And then now Louisville is recognized as the one of the best U of L ladies basketball teams in the nation. Right. We're always in the top five. We play hard, we hustle, and I guess that's what we're looking for in football.
longevity.
Absolutely.
Some longevity.
Just somebody who wants to stay here and build a foundation. Don't even just wants to put in that work.
It's apples to oranges, though. Baseball wins basketball. I mean, I think that, you know, there's only a couple women's basketball programs that are premier, and I think baseball is just a whole different story. Football, you know, there's been, you know, define programs out since,
right.
I mean, like, before 1900. So, I think you're comparing
that's
apples
fair.
To oranges. So
That's fair there. But Louisville, without a doubt, is one of the top three women's basketball programs.
And they're not three
out there. Real quick, we're going to touch on a couple things, other things. KG put out a great story on Cardinal Sports Zone this week about the first female D1 football player to ever suit up for a college football game, Kathy Clope. We got an interview with her. She was actually, I went on an unofficial visit to Louisville at the time she was there, met her. She was really cool. I hit her up. I still had her all of her information. I was like, hey, KG wants to interview you. She feels like your story is important to put out there. I do too. She's like, yeah, let's do it. So we got that done, and it's on CardinalSportsZone.com right now. Speaking of at CardinalSportsZone.com right now, we have partnered up with Frankie's family, and they're not very far away from their goal for Angel Trees for the city of Louisville this year. CSC is going to be making a team donation later this week. If you all want to give to them, they have several ways to give. Go to our Facebook page at it's just Cardinal Sports Zone, three different words, and you can find all the information on how to donate and give there. Last but not least, one of the members of the table, you know, they put their big boy pants on this week and got to announce their first college basketball game. Wes, how was that for you? No, I'm just kidding. Dalton, just tell us a little bit about that experience. We know you like to talk, so there ain't going to be any problems with you.
Well, the way I felt about it when I started, I'm sorry, handshaking. Monster.
No, that's me.
Oh, yeah, that's you.
That's me. I've had the M&Ms all week, apparently. Palms are sweaty. Mom's spaghetti. Shaking it. Never mind. But how was that experience for you, Dalton?
He was nervous.
No, not at all, really. I thought it was different. I will say that. It was extremely different, but it was a blast. I mean, I had a ton of fun. The sound system's going from big high school venues to the KFC Yum Center. It's different hearing your voice echo like that. But extremely cool. I, outside of a couple minor mistakes with foul calls, I thought I did really well. And hopefully hear some good news earlier in the week. But regardless if I do or don't, you know, I'm proud of myself and looking forward to opening some more doors. So.
Absolutely, because he's already got 7,000 PA positions right now. What's one more going to hurt? No, I mean, people have been, and Dalton, you can attest to this, people have been reaching out to me for the last month or so. Like, hey, we need to get your guy.
Actually, I have an called Friday night, and somebody, and an athletic director at a high school was
Are you at liberty to say which high school?
Evangel Christian was it. Uh-huh. Apparently, I'm going to be getting a phone call talking about a potential full-time position here sometime this week. So
ain't that the one that your boy hooked you up with? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Uh-oh.
All right.
See, that is one thing, though.
See, I have to flex every once in a while.
What separates 55 from the rest of these cats out here is this guy not only talks the talk, but more so he walks the walk. And, you know, the thing about it is you know, he'll get a bad rep sometime for being a goofball. But at the end of the day, I think in terms of being genuine and, you know, supporting his people, I mean, there ain't – he's like the
– I'm writing your name down on this paper, by the way. Goofball. Okay, go ahead.
No, but I don't know if comparing you to Tom Jurich would be appropriate.
No. Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. But in the sense of he gets his guys set up, and I think that's Jurich-esque.
Okay, I'll take that. And I think that's very fair because, again, and I wasn't going to say anything about the particular school, but along with that high school position, Terrence Farley, our friend of the show, special correspondent, him and his boy Phil – I have been looking for a PA and out. Everybody that's approached me for Dalton, I've sent straight to Dalton. I was like, don't talk about any of the details with me because some of them wanted to talk details. I was like, that's not my business. You talk to him. Y'all get that started, whatever. But very proud of him. I don't normally watch other people's games. I did watch that game. And then your dad actually tweeted out video of you doing and me and Sean put together the post on CardinalSportsZone.com. If you weren't able to hear Dalton, which if you listen to the show, he's the only one that really talks. I'm just
there's a video pinned to my Twitter account.
There's a video pinned to his Twitter account, and there's also one at CardinalSportsZone.com where he does the introductions. He all jokes aside, phenomenal job. Very proud of you, and I can't wait to see where this takes you. We're gonna do a little bit of. We're gonna go outside the box for a second before we wrap up. First off, to let everybody know, Dad's doing a lot better. He's in great spirits. I mean, he's not been home since the first week of October. You can only imagine how that's taken a toll on him mentally and physically. Doing a lot better though. He appreciates every. He don't know how to get on the Twitter or anything and say things back to y'all. But I send him screenshots all the time. He says thanks, so appreciate everybody's love and support as far as that goes. But we're going to go in a different direction because tonight is the return, and I know that Dalton don't watch us a lot. The rest of us do. It's the return of War Games. NXT War Games is tonight, I think at 7 o'clock. We're going to, you know, have a meal. Whoever wants to stay and have a meal and watch it, you're more than welcome to. Sean, if you want to come out and eat in the garage, you're more than welcome to. But War Games. Now, Joey, I'm gonna go to you on this because you're the OG of the wrestling community table here. What is it about War Games that makes a match different than any other match?
Brutality.
It is brutal. I mean,
plain and simple.
It does have brutalness.
Mismatch numbers. You know, they have a match prior to between two of the teams to figure out who gets the advantage first.
So you start out with two people. And then
three minutes later, one team has an advantage 2-on-1.
Now, was it last year?
With last year was amazing.
It was. I beg you, even if you're not a wrestling fan, go watch it. Tommaso Ciampa and Adam Cole were on the top of the War Games cage and did a back body drop all the way through a table.
KO was the surprise. Kevin,
that was the best one in recent memory.
Yeah, Dijakovic. Tommaso, yeah. Keith Lee.
That's who it was. Amazing match, and probably my favorite WWE version of the War Games match that they've had. I used to love when guys like Sting and Ric Flair and the Road Warriors, those war games were just off the chain. Speaking of Sting, congratulations. You've debuted in a fourth promotion in the last 10 years.
That right. was pretty dope, though.
No, the music was dope. Him coming out was just this. I mean,
it was the same old Sting, but right. like, it
the
was
snow
dope.
Falling. No, no, no. The snow falling was pretty cool.
Like,
the
he
video
never
music,
broke kayfabe, dude. Never.
The video and the music were awesome.
I you got to think, dude. Like, in that.
And I knew exactly who it was. People were like, oh my God, we had
it's
no idea.
It's Crow.
Like
yeah, and
they,
it was
they
in
put
black
it on,
and white.
They put it on the what's that? The Jumbotron, the Titantron,
yeah.
or whatever.
No, it's not Titantron. AEW. Get it straight, yeah. Sam. It's the.
It spelled out Sting, and I was like, oh shit! So I started looking in the sky, like I was waiting for him to come down.
Unbelievable.
But he didn't. And I was like,
but like
oh,
he
come
never
on,
like moved his face
no,
at all.
Did he?
Same look, no matter who he was. Like, it was a cool moment.
Yeah. I don't know why they keep spoiling it in the entrance. Because if you remember, in the WWE,
yeah.
they put his face on the board. Like, why do that at all? Just and then they did the whole Crow thing during the AEW one. It just, to me, I was okay with it. But
so the biggest thing for me that made it cool was because Tony Schiavone.
It's Sting!
But, I mean, just going back to the old days, you know, in WCW, it was a cool moment because Tony Schiavone was the announcer.
Yeah.
Well, real
and
quick.
You could hear genuine,
like
emotion.
Joy.
Right. Yeah.
You know what? We
right.
need to get Daryl.
Cool.
We need to get a hold of Daryl Faust and see if she can't get us an interview with Tony Schiavone. Welcome to the Ringside Podcast portion of CSE Podcast. By the way, that's not official. I'm calling it that. But Daryl knows Tony Schiavone. They did
really
yeah. What Schiavone? Tony Schiavone used to Tony Schiavone was the play by play guy for one of the teams, AAA teams that came to visit Louisville all the time. So she built a he follows her on Twitter, she follows him on Twitter, and maybe that's something that we can get for a future episode of the Ringside Podcast, which I'm hoping once I can get over this pneumonia, I will be rejoining. That's being announced first here on the show. So just clap for me. That's the wackest clap ever. But anyway, okay. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I've missed it. But I haven't missed Daniel. But anyway, the Sting thing to me, it was cool. The music was cool. But it was just like, dude, I saw you debut in WCW. I saw you debut in TNA. I saw you come to WWE 5 years ago. He's 62 years old. He's not going to wrestle full time.
Well, he's going to have some matches, and that's the thing. WWE wasn't going to let him wrestle anymore because.
Well, he almost was it.
Got his yeah. He's almost paralyzed.
Right.
But anyway.
But that just goes to show you that one company wants to protect their talent, the other one wants to exploit it.
If somebody wants to give me at 62 years old wants to give me $5 million a year, or whatever it was, I mean, it's in the millions.
But he hadn't done anything recently.
Doesn't matter.
And that's why he is the wrestling version of Scott Satterfield. Case closed. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking.
He left WWE to go to AEW.
I'm joking. I'm just trying to tie that all in for some fun.
The Jets
Sting
about to get their first W.
Sting is the GOAT. The Jets, I can't believe I'm saying this, are going to win the game over the Las Vegas Raiders.
There is still some time.
You're right. You know, Jets are going to jet. But
who's got the ball?
Jets.
One thing real quick before we wrap up the show, because like I said, this has been a long show. We knew it. We're not sorry for it. We don't apologize. As far as the wrestling is concerned, the one thing I did like, I didn't like all the ballyhoo afterwards, but the one thing I did like is that Kenny Omega defeated Dean Ambrose. And I'm never going to call him by his government name because that's just.
He defeated Mox.
No, he defeated Dean Ambrose. And then Impact, which is a totally different wrestling promotion, their CEO comes out and says, he interfered in the match. The announcers are like, why did you do that? And he said, well, you'll find out this Tuesday on Impact. So teasing a multiple promotion, and this is something that we've talked about on Ringside Podcast and amongst ourselves for a long time. For anybody to have any chance at rivaling WWE, whether the product is as bad now at WWE than it's ever been, but nobody, like you've got the owner of AEW came out on Twitter the other day and was like, yeah, we beat NXT by 200,000 viewers. Well, NXT is the developmental program. No matter how much they want to sauce it up as a third brand, it's not. They've already taken all their talent. It is what it is. It was so Bush League to me. And then you see all the people who just hate Vince so much come out and be like, oh my God, AEW on Impact, same people who would not give Impact a has not watched Impact in 10 years are all now hog wild because Kenny Omega is going to show up on Impact. But I fully expect, and I don't have any, I've not been a part of the wrestling buzz for a vaccine stuff for a few months now because I stepped away to help take care of Pops. But what I fully expect is at some point during the spring there to be a, you know, that's when WrestleMania happens, right, Wes? Is in the spring.
Yep.
I fully expect either that weekend or the weekend before to see a pay-per-view featuring New Japan Pro Wrestling, Ring of Honor, Impact, and AEW, where they do like what the true meaning of WrestleMania, WrestleFest, WrestlePalooza. They're going to put on a WrestlePalooza type event. I feel like they're going to cross promote all the way from now to then, and I feel like it's going to be good for the wrestling community.
Yeah.
Even OVW, I wouldn't be shocked to see some of their guys. One of AEW's wrestlers just showed up in Louisville last night, won the OVW Heavyweight Championship from a guy in Tony Gunn, a friend of ours, been in the studio multiple times, that had held the title for almost a year. So,
Triple H tweet out like the WWE would be open.
Yeah, but nobody's going to do that with them. That's just one of the things.
I think Impact maybe because they do have a good working relationship with Impact.
I wonder Impact's how that relationship is now. Yeah, they are.
Wait. They're going to be in a real good spot because they could possibly talent share with both AEW and WWE, or Vince throws a ton of money at them to say you only share with us.
I could see that happening. I really could.
Somebody catch me up with that.
Okay.
What did Triple H tweet out?
You can do that after the show.
That he would be which one's Sam? I'm going to mute him for the rest of the show. No. Said that he would be open to working with other promotions. This was like a day after the whole AEW, ROH, Impact stuff.
Okay.
I could see a situation, Joey, you are correct. I could see a situation where Vince is like, you know what? Don't work with AEW no more. Just work with us to cut them off. Because as big as Tony Khan's feeling in his britches right now, he still only beat NXT by 200,000 votes. Put them up, and I also have full. I have heard stuff. I don't know this to be true, but expect AEW Dynamite to move to Monday nights sometime this spring.
So, real quick, last thing on wrestling.
Yeah.
So think about it. WWE just got the Rascals from Impact.
Two of the three.
You got AJ Styles in WWE. You got the Good Brothers in Impact. AJ would like to have something more to do with Impact. I mean, there's so many variables that are tied close together that it's inevitable. What in the blue hell is going over there, Sean? What are you doing to the dog?
I don't know. The dog,
you don't know the dog what you're doing to the dog?
All he said was, I don't.
Oh, my gosh. The Jets just jetted.
And the Jets did just jet. Last second touchdown.
In my head, I said that when they got the ball at like the 35, 40 yard line.
Well, there's still 5 seconds left. So
goodness. What a.
Henry Ruggs III. Where did he play? He played
Alabama.
Oh, I thought he played.
He's on my fantasy team, too.
Oh, so that works out for you.
Go back to South Alabama.
I would not be shocked to see the Rascals show up on. You know how they do the crowd pans and the new signees are out there? Wouldn't shock me one bit to see them. Guys, I appreciate y'all sticking. This has been a supersized version of the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast. We appreciate you all for sticking through the whole thing. Once again, shout out to all of our fine sponsors, Jamon Brown Foundation, Shack in the Back Barbecue, Four Pegs, Custom Multicades, Fitness Market, Derby City Lawn and Landscaping, and according to the background over at Sean's PetSmart, we're working on more as we speak. If you want to be in line for one of the social media, the sponsorship opportunities, contact us on social media or give us a call at 502-694-0375. Leave us a message. We will get right back to you. That's just our extra line for during the day while we're all at work. To get a hold of us on social media, you can do it on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook. All of the handles are at Card Sport Zone. On Facebook, we're Cardinal Sports Zone. Hit that like button. Make a Facebook official. Don't be afraid to tell your friends you're in a relationship with us. We don't mind at all. You can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Buzzsprout, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google, iHeart, and soon to be on Amazon Music. Hit subscribe now. I won't have to remind you to listen to the show. Just check out the podcast. Hit that subscribe button. You'll get it before everybody else does. If you haven't listened to all the episodes of the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast, go to the go back to cardinalsportszone.com. Check them all out. There's a drop-down menu. We're working to get the old episodes of CSZ on 93.9 back up on there for your listening pleasure. Had a lot of great moments, a lot of great times we'd like to share with you. There's a drop-down menu, though. Right now, you can currently listen to any episode of Live with 55, any episode of CSZ podcast. What's funny is we were talking about a certain somebody the other day that Sean dislikes. And he's like, I've never heard of him before. And I was like, Sean, he literally was on the first episode of Live with 55 that you produced. So I didn't give too much away, so people won't know until after the show, and I'll tell them. But literally, he was on the very first episode. I am the reason why that pus is in the area now. It's literally like a sore that you can't treat. But anyway, we'll just leave that at that. Our recruiting team is on fire right now. Check out all the stuff. Dalton's put out some good stuff about the future of recruiting under Chris Mack. Phenomenal read. Sam's putting out player spotlights on the women's basketball players every day. Sean and Sam, everybody's working together to put out pieces about the new commits. Check out their exclusives at cardinalsportszone.com, the place it all began. What a great tagline. Yeah, you're right, Jeremy. You came up with it. I don't know. Shout out to everybody out there who's sharing the podcast. We love and appreciate you all. Shout out to, I'm going to do some random shout outs because I had some people DM me with some questions today we didn't get to get to. Our guy Beast Mode, our guy Turtle. Trevor, as always, we appreciate your support. JC Lindemann, you're just short and we don't care about what you do at all because we don't like you. And I say we, I mean me. But speaking of negativity, keep that out of the airwaves. Let's only talk about the power of positivity. If you have any ideas, of course, I love John. I'm just kidding. I always give him crap because he gives me crap about being tall. So I talk about the fact, hold on, it's up in the air, and it is batted down. Jets lose. Jets did jet. But I appreciate it. He talks about me being tall, and I talk about him being small enough to fit into a shoe. So it is what it is.
Interesting.
If you have any ideas or suggestions for guests, topics, anything, shoot us a DM. At Card Sports Zone. Individually, you can shoot me a DM at Jeremy underscore CSZ. You can get Sean at
Elville Sean.
Sam.
Baseboy 124.
Joey.
He's nut. No, I'm just kidding. Joe Wallman 526.
Repeat it again.
Joe Wallman 526.
Dalton.
Defense underscore.
And the sixth man of the year.
Westby underscore 42.
There you go. Any last words for anybody?
I so wanted to answer that question we read earlier, but it's okay.
All right. Well, answer it after the show. Sam, you got anything? Any last words?
Nah.
Nah. All right. Well, that pretty much – Sean, do you have anything you want to say to people? I know the mask thing. Go ahead and say that because it's important everybody hears that.
Wear a mask, people. Come on. It's not that hard. We're almost through this. Just
I ain't no almost.
Sam?
What's that? Oh,
you know, say relax. If you ain't gonna say nothing,
well, no. My last word is, come on, Cards fans, just relax. These coaching stuff is a business. It happens. We'll get over it. We'll get through it.
We'll get through this. We'll get through this together, Joey.
Maryland sucks.
You know, we have a player on our team from Maryland, and he fumbled the ball last week. The first thing I thought was, he might be trash. Wes, anything? Just anything.
Stay healthy. Stay positive. Take care of yourself. Make great memories with great people.
I didn't ask for
a postcard.
Emotional entry.
But guess what? But guess what?
From it's the Sally Jesse Raphael collection.
I know, right? From the USB collection.
All right, guys. Well, we appreciate you all. Once again, until next time, recruit Selah Brown. And this has been the Cardinal Sports Zone Podcast. I wonder if people still listen during this part or if they've already turned it off.
Probably already turned it off.
Are y'all listening? Can I just
turn it
stop
off
at the end?
I just listen to me say relax and I turn it off.
I don't know. I wonder. I just wonder if they listen. Let us know if you listen. We may have a prize for you.
Drop the bass.
We might get you a present.
We not.
We not.